Lord, we just come into your presence right now, Father. We just ask you to have your way here in this class. We give you all praise and all glory for everything that you're going to reveal to us today. We ask you to just pour yourself through your people today. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. Let us go forth and be doers of that word, that we might even become your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Blessed, right?
Yes.
There's this one friend of mine that I would ask him, how you doing? And he would say, blessed abundantly. Every single time you'd ask him, how you doing? Blessed abundantly. I go, amen, so am I. We are blessed, aren't we? We are blessed abundantly. We sometimes get our eyes off to this way or that way, and next thing you know, we sit there and we enter into and stay into that earthly realm when he's given us the ability to get into the heavenly realm. And so we need to come up here, we need to be up, stay up there, right? Stay up there the whole time. There's no reason to ever come back to the earthly realm. I know that we walk on the earthly realm. That's a good metaphor right there. We walk on the earthly realm. Ooh, I like that. That just came. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so Lord just been dealing with me, as you know, way back before the vacation about us being kings and priests. Okay?
Yes.
Do we believe that we're kings and priests?
Yes.
We are. You can believe it or not. If you don't believe it, then you're not walking in the inheritance that God's given you, right? So, we are kings and priests, and there's so much when you talk about priesthood. There's just so much. And we're going to just kind of try to stay on track with one little piece of it right here that's a little teaching that I found really interesting. I really got blessed by what the Lord has given me on this, and I hope you do too. So, you know, we've talked about Melchizedek. We all know, you know, that he came to Abram and he blessed him, right?
Yeah.
And after he came to him, well, I got crackers on my keyboard here. After he blessed him, he became Abraham, right? So he was the sacred father as Abram, but guess what happened when he became Abraham? Father of many, 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 many. Many, many, many. So, okay, so so we're going to try to stay on track on this one fact. And then we can talk. I know God's going to probably have more to say down the road, but right now, you know, what does the Melchizedek priesthood have to do with, I listened to the Sunday school, very good. What does it have to do with us? Okay, yeah, we're priests, okay, but what's the Melchizedek priesthood have to do with us? And where do we apply this in our everyday life? You know, as much as I love the Old Testament, because I love history and I love, you know, novels, and I think some of it's history and some of it's novels, you know, types and shadows and allegories and whatever. If it doesn't do something to help us continue with the Lord, then what good is it? I mean, there's a lot of good books out there that you can read, but if it's not going to advance your walk in the Lord, so what, you know, what good is it as far as your eternal situation? Okay, we're going to talk a lot about Melchizedek over the next coming weeks, but I really wanted to focus on, this. And we know he's the king of righteousness and the king of Salem. We all know that. But I thought it was interesting that the word Melchi means my king. Mm-hmm. And it also means appointed up by God. God appoints. Priest. It's God appointed, huh?
God appoints priests.
Yes, yes. So you have been appointed by God. Mm-hmm. That should make you feel really good this morning. Etta, that should make you really feel good. You have been appointed by God.
To do what?
To be a priest. To be a king and a priest. So, I want to start with this because you'll see where I'm going with this, where the Lord led me with this. Someone tell us about the Tower of Babel. Someone tell us that story. Who wants to tell us that story? Okay, go ahead. Speak up loud so we can make sure we get it on the CD.
All right, they were trying to, children of Israel. What, the children of Israel?
Well, that was
no.
70 nations,
yeah,
70.
All right.
Yeah, that's trying to. World.
All right, let Brother Oscar tell it.
They were trying to
call it reaching God.
Yes.
So they began to build. But then God, and they were building and going higher, but God confused their language. They all were different languages, and He confused it so that they couldn't really communicate.
Right. That's very true.
So that took care of trying to build and to reach God.
Why do you think He confused their languages?
How come?
Why do you think He stopped it? Why did He confuse? There were like 70 nations there, and I don't know how many languages and dialects and whatever. Why did He say, this isn't good, I'm going to confuse it, and they all went their separate ways?
I think because if they did reach up to God, then they would think that they were as good as God, or...
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
You're on the right track.
So it would have been really their God, really what they were building
to become their
God.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
You can't replace God with anything.
Right.
I got the impression from the story, too, that God actually said they might attain it. You know, and so He didn't. It could not be attained by man in the natural.
Yeah.
It couldn't.
All three of you are 100% right. You can't get to God through your self efforts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You can sit there and invent some God on your self efforts, but is He the true God?
Mm-hmm.
You can't know God until you embrace Him and fellowship and believe what He says. Believe in the truthfulness of God. That's true righteousness, like Oscar's definition. Isn't that your definition?
What's that?
Believing in the truthfulness of God is a definition
for
righteousness.
The truthfulness of God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great definition.
Where do these people come from? I mean,
everywhere in the world, anywhere in the area.
But what was they there for?
To build a tower into the heavens so that they could get closer to God. And the metaphor is this, I don't know if that's an allegory, metaphor, or whatever, is through your self efforts. You'll never get there. You have to have relationship with Him. That's how you get there.
What I think one of the main problems with what was going on back there is in Genesis 11:6, the Lord said, "Behold, this people is one, and they all have one language. And they begin to do, and now nothing is restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Now, the only problem is that they were one in their own efforts.
In the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, in their own efforts. And yet, anytime that, that God sees oneness, that's what his whole purpose for us is, to be one with him, mm-hmm. you know. And anytime that he sees oneness, and if we don't, if we come to realize it, and I'll be quiet after this, but the world uses the principles of God all the time.
And it works.
And it works. When you go to the bank, the bank uses the principle of oneness. You don't know they're using that principle, but they know they're using it, because they get a whole bunch of people to agree to put their money in there. They'll pay them a little bit of interest, but they're going to make a lot of money off that little bit of all these people's money. They got them together, insurance companies. They get a whole bunch of people together and get them in oneness without knowing they're in oneness. And they make millions, and insurance companies own most of the stuff in this country, yep. when you get down to it. And, you know, that principle of oneness, if Christian people ever get to the oneness in God, then there's going to be, the limits are going to totally be taken off of everything. And that's why he said this even in Genesis, you know, because that principle of oneness was being there, but it was for the wrong purpose. Mm-hmm.
I remember a businessman, I forget who it was, read that tithed, and he used to, and he was blessed, because he said, whatsoever, you know, you do is you get it back. Mm-hmm. So he gave of his fortune, and he made more because he used that principle. I read that somewhere about
reaping
it.
And sowing.
Yeah.
Sowing and reaping.
And
they call it karma here.
And this day, there's principles in God that work, whether you know him or not.
Yeah.
You're using it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know that Babel is part of Babylonia, that one time was the strongest nation in the world at one time. So, starting with the Tower of Babel, you're looking at a great definition of Babylon, Babel, Babylonia, whatever. And that's mixture and confusion. And when you look out at the church today, can you see more confusion
yes,
and
yes,
a mixture
yes.
of so much that it is just sad.
Yeah.
It's just sad to see the confusion within the body of Christ. It's sad. That is why the world, including the church world, is standing on tiptoe waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Because someone here on earth, some God people here on earth have to eliminate the mixture and the confusion. Someone has to. And that's what God's doing today, is he's raising up these sons of God, and that's going to bring about an end to the confusion, because what's going to happen is God's going to show up in these folks, and people are going to, I mean, I believe billions are going to wake up. Mm-hmm. Not just millions, I believe billions are going to wake up. Okay.
Are you talking about what tower? Were you talking about?
Tower of Babel.
I thought
it's in the Old Testament, it's in Genesis.
Yeah, I thought that was when they came there and was arguing, or and God confused them and said, and gave each one of them a language, and they went off.
Yes.
Well, they weren't arguing, they were together.
Well,
yeah, they were one.
They were one.
But
whatever.
Yes, he did confuse them and sent them off.
All these people, and they couldn't understand this one or couldn't understand them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it ended.
Yeah.
In the state of confusion. They thought they had it all together. Just like some religions out there. It's like, we got it all, the rest of y'all don't. And that's the same as what happened there at the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
I also thought, again, I don't think it's in the Bible, but I thought in my research, I thought it was interesting that 70 nations were involved in this Tower of Babel. When, What's significant of 70? Give me something in scripture that was significant of 70. Remember? It's in the New Testament.
Is it in Revelation?
No.
Was it Pentecost?
No, that was 120. It says in the Bible at a certain point that he sent 70 of them out.
Oh, all right.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. See, what the enemy confuses as truth, God brings clarity. God brings the clarity and says, I'm sending you 70 out because you're going to set this world on its ear.
I have a question. God confused those people, confused their, and then you compared them to doesn't that remind you of the church today? Can there something be said for the fact that God also confused
Yes.
the churches?
That's a great point, because what the Lord showed me was this. He blinded the Jews when Jesus came, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is gonna make you crazy. Fun crazy, good crazy. He's blinded the church for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. It's not out of control.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make them, I don't want to say evil.
No,
they're
operating
in God's.
For the tape's sake, for the CD, for the internet, we want to make sure this is clear. I'm glad you brought this out, Kathy. We want to make this clear. We are not talking down that they're some second-class citizen. That is not what we're talking about at all. We're saying this. Just as the Lord blinded the Jews of the time that Jesus was on the earth, he has blinded the church. Because why can't they see it? I mean, why can't they see the things that we talk about every day? Does that mean we're any better than them?
No.
Heck no. Heck no. Only by the grace of God that we know anything. It has nothing to do with us in and of ourselves. It has everything to do with him. Many are called, few are chosen. You know what? Lord showed this to me this morning. You have to want to be chosen. You know what I'm saying? I want to be chosen. I want God to pour himself through me. I want more of him every day. Mm-hmm. I want to get closer and closer and closer to him. That's the only reason he chose me, and that's the only reason he chose you.
That's how he chose David.
Huh?
That's how he chose David, and David became a man after his own heart.
And was David looking to be king? No, he wasn't looking to be. He wasn't even included in the lineup. He was out there tending the sheep. That's some menial job, and God chose him. So, you know, I just want to make sure we don't put out into the internet that we are better than anybody else, because we're not. That that God likes us more than he likes them, because he doesn't. And that we don't ever want an elitist mentality that we're something special, because the only thing special in us is the Lord that resides in us. That's it. There's nothing special about us other than that. And guess what? We're all going the same way. It's just each and every person's journey is different. But we're all getting to the same place. I love
in their order.
Yeah, I love what Evie says. It said that the schoolhouse, sooner or later, the schoolhouse is going to have a sign on the door. School's closed. Everybody graduated. So we're all going the same way. It's just some are going in a different path than others. Does that hopefully clarify that we're not thinking of ourselves as being special? Because when you talk about religion and all that, it's almost like you're better than them. We are not better than anybody.
In any situation, whenever you feel that things are out of control, I try to remember God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. God, you know, dropped his hand. It's all God. It's all in His plan.
He's the one in control.
And He is the controller. And you know, let go of things you have no control of.
Amen. Amen.
That's most things.
That's good. Mm. Well, religion, in its organized sense, is the kingdom of self. Think about it for a second. They built the Tower of Babel from self-effort. Let's build that next level. Let's keep going, guys. We're going to build this thing up. It's no different than religion. It's like we got God in this box. We think we got everything figured out. Mm-hmm. And now this is what we need to do to get close to God. And much of it is do's and don'ts and you know, works. Dead works, let's face it. I mean, if you're doing it out of self, it's a dead work. There's no life in that work. If you're doing it because God told you to do it, you're going to see life in that. There'll definitely be life in that. So, what I'm getting at today is this, and we're not going to get, and that's good. I'm not in any hurry. So what we're going to do is we're getting to the point here in Genesis 14. What I'd love for you to do is study over the next week Genesis 14. That's kind of like a little... Study Genesis 14. Because where we're heading with this is this. Like I said in the beginning, if we're studying something and it doesn't do anything to bring us closer to God, then why are we wasting each other's time? Seriously. It's just a waste. I mean, knowledge puffs up. You could memorize the Old Testament, and if you don't bring it into your life as a type and shadow, what good is it? Is it really any good? It's a nice story, and there's nice people in there, and there's bad people in there, but all it is a story. So if you can't bring it back to our lives and us drawing closer to Him and coming up, like He said, come up here, then what good is it? I don't want to waste my time, and you don't want to waste your time on stuff that's not going to bring you closer to God. Is that a fair assumption there?
Yes.
Okay. This is where we're getting to on this. I think it's the, I don't have it down here, but I think it's the first verse in Genesis 14 where it talks about four kings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first verse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those four kings had to be defeated before Melchizedek came to Abram and before Abram could become Abraham. Okay? Now, those same four kings have to be overthrown, defeated. You have to overcome them in your life.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, this is really, to some people, it's going to really be a great study, because they're going to see concretely, and we're not all about do's and don'ts and bullet points and all that. That's not what we're about. But to clearly bring it out, we're going to have some of that. Okay? But that's, you know, that's going to take some time, so we're going to just work our way through it. Before we get to that, I'm going to just read Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread. And we know the bread is the bread of life. Why else would he bring bread? It's not because it's the stuff that you break and eat. It's, that metaphorically speaking it is, but it's the show bread, right? It's the bread of life. Jesus gave us our daily bread himself. So it's bread and wine. And the wine was used as a drink offering, and the sheaves, what do they call that? The
waving of the
sheaves. Waving of the sheaves, yeah. The wine had to come in on that. And the wine is a libation that brings about gladness. Gosh, isn't that what we want, especially in this day and age we live in? We want to live in gladness of who we are in Him and what He's done for us. And I mean, that's living in the heavenlies. That's not living here in this earthly muck and mire. And that's basically what you see. The world is living in the muck and mire. I can honestly tell you, Julie can verify this, since the election, not only do we not watch the news, mm-hmm. we do not watch regular TV. Mm-hmm. Has not been turned on in our house, has it? Because guess what? What good can come from it? Seriously. Because all it is the muck and the mire. That's all it is. I want to keep my things, keep my thoughts in the heavenly. I want to keep my, I want to think up here, not down there. And I'm not telling you that you should turn off your TV. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not, because we'll stream a movie or a documentary on Netflix and what. So it's not like we're not watching the boob tube. It's just we choose to pick what we watch. And I don't want to watch that nonsense. It's just nonsense. And I'm forget the election. It's all nonsense. Even before the election, after. It's not just the election why we decided, but the election determined for us to turn it off. That we just didn't want to hear any more of. It's all bickering and it's all negative and it's not anything that we need to feed ourselves on. Our eye gates and our ear gates don't need that nonsense. And I should have done it years ago, but it was like, that was that moment. Sometimes you need a moment that clicks and you say, okay. That was the moment for us. And I don't care if I ever turn a TV on again in that kind of situation, because it does me no good. It's not going to bring me closer.
I have to turn it on.
Okay, well, that's you. And I'm not saying everybody should turn it off.
I have to be right in there.
And you know, maybe there'll be a time in your life where you will turn it off. You know, maybe not.
Yeah, but I just listened to the election part of it, you know, because I want to be there when they hang Biden by his feet upside down.
Time out. Oh. We're not getting political in my class. Let me tell you.
I would like to ask, I'd like to inform you about something that
what?
I thought was so good. Has anyone taken notice of the series called The Chosen?
Oh yes, it's
oh
great.
My gosh, it's
awesome.
It's free and
Eddie,
it's on
you need
YouTube.
To watch that instead of the
it's,
news
it's
series.
It's free what? And it's on YouTube.
We watched
it's free.
The first episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
we
my
watched
goodness.
The first episode.
Have you got a treat coming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are 8 episodes on there and do not miss one.
It's really good.
What
you can get it, you can get it on your cell phone so you don't need to put it on
yeah.
your TV or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, I've
it's a
I
free
threw
app.
YouTube
up on,
YouTube.
On my Roku.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roku has YouTube
yeah.
and you can put it right up on your big TV.
But for those that don't have Roku,
oh
whatever,
my
you
goodness.
Can put it right on your cell
it
phone.
It is so
it's really
good.
Good. Really
he
good.
Has a personality.
I
he's
know,
one of the guys. They just love
We'll help you. We'll help you. Do you have your cell phone with you?
No.
Okay. We bring it next
I,
week.
I don't
we'll
know.
Help you.
I can't watch something and say and then put it on my television. I can't.
I'll sit down with you next week. Bring your cell phone, okay? Okay.
Have you
think
seen
about,
Oscar? Oh.
Think
world.
About this for
what's
a second.
What's the name? What's it called?
The Chosen. The Chosen.
I'll tell you who The Chosen is, though, when I speak out of it.
Okay, good.
It's
okay.
us. It's all of us.
Okay, so so he was the priest of the Most High, all right? So are you.
Who was?
Melchizedek.
Yeah, yes, he was.
And so are you. Mm-hmm. He was our predecessor. Mm-hmm. He was our forerunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was our pattern. And we know he had no mother, no father. We're not going to get into all that right now. But anyway, okay. Now think about this for a second. Think about this. These are four Babylonian kings that he went after. He had to defeat them. There was not a choice. He only had 318 men. 318 men defeated four kings. And we'll give you all the meanings here a little bit later on. Four kings. I put kinks. Okay? The old slip of the finger there. Okay. King's men. Let's see. Abram's men versus all four of the king's men. Yeah, armies. These were the
That's
top armies.
God was behind.
Of course, of course. So before Melchizedek came to bless him and before he could be called Abraham, he had to defeat these kings. I mean, there might have been other things too, but that was a major, major thing. So he went from becoming, whenever there's a name change, there's a nature change. Yes. So why do you think God wants us to defeat these four kings? Mm-hmm. To change our nature. Mm-hmm. To give us Steve, and now he's Stephen, or whatever. I mean, that's just a natural, the name is just the natural. It's in here that the work is done, you know. So we must overcome and defeat these four Babylonian kings in our life. It begins with repentance. You got to start with repentance. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you did anything wrong. That didn't mean you sinned. That didn't mean you have unforgiveness for people. No, it means none. It means you need to change your mind on who you are in Christ. Change your way of thinking. Because when you start changing your way of thinking up here versus down here, wow, you turn into having an abundant life. The abundant life. The abundant life, basically, things come upon you, whatever, you just brush them off and move on down the road. They don't bother you. They don't have the effect on you anymore. The earthly things can't control you and bother you and harass you anymore because you're up here. Religion says fix yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, seriously, I was in before I met Julie and I was in Christian singles circles, you know, I won't name the church, but they did this whole big thing. I mean, I couldn't believe it way back then, and I definitely can't believe it now, but he did a whole four-part series, 4 weeks, called Sex in the City. I couldn't believe it. I went, seriously? Is there any human being on earth, whether you know God or you don't know God, that doesn't know that committing adultery is wrong? Forget the word, the biblical word, sin or whatever. Is there anybody that does it that thinks it's okay? No! Because everybody has a measure of faith, right? Everybody. God's given everybody a measure. So you know it's wrong and you choose to do it anyway, right? So you can't fix yourself. If you could, there would be 1, 2, 3, 4. We'd all be perfect. We'd all be perfect. The kingdom says, I can do all things, but how? Only. Only through Christ. There's no other way that you can do all things. So if God looks at you as perfect. Your sins have already been forgiven, so take that out of the mix. It's not even there anymore. It's not even a part of your life anymore. Take it out. That's religion. That's trying to fix yourself. It's already been fixed. You've been fixed. It's not a matter of what you do, think, or whatever. It's a matter of what Christ has done. So when you see yourself any other way, look through. God gave me this little vision of looking through Christ. You know, looking from the outside through Christ, through the being of Christ, and you're on the other side.
Wow.
So that's what we got to look through Christ, not just at Him, but through Him. So I can do all things through Christ. Not trying to make myself perfect, but I'm already perfect. If God sees me as perfect, I'm perfect. May not feel perfect at times, I don't care. Your eyes will deceive you. You're perfect. 100%.
You know, something, Rich, it's not your eyes that matter.
There you go. Right.
People, when Christ is working through you and as you, people see you as Christ. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself or
exactly
what you see in yourself. That's all in God's plan, too.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yes. Oh, I thought you said that.
It's like an auction. You got to watch your
keep. Yeah, exactly. $1 million. Oh, sold. Okay. I'm going to say a couple more things. We're not going to get into the Kings today. That's okay. We laid the groundwork. Your perfection is through Him, not through your futile efforts. You can try to be perfect all you want. How's it working out for you? Not very good, I can promise you. If without Him, you could never be perfect. I don't care if you've got self-help coaches. It's interesting. On Friday, God's put me with a group of men, and I've said this before in other Sunday school classes. None of them have been in a church in years, probably decades. And the majority of them are into all this self-help stuff. If you see it, you become it. You know, which some of this stuff, there's...
It's sound.
Huh? It's sound. There's always an element of truth in every religion. Mm-hmm. Always. Something there that you can say, that's truth. Well, anyway... They, you know, it's called the law of attraction. You ever heard of that? I'm learning all this stuff from these guys because they're doing it all on their own. And what God is having me do is say this. You know what? You'll never get there. And I don't say it that bluntly. You know, I'm trying to just really ease them into this. But it's interesting that it's all about me. It's all about me. They will admit God's given me the abilities to do certain things. Now, I can't let Him down. I got to go do it. I. And so, basically, a buddy of mine he and I have talked about the Lord for probably, the last 7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
We're trying to infuse Jesus in their philosophy, you know. And it's really been interesting. I've really enjoyed it. And they've never rejected anything that we've said. But I don't think they quite buy it yet because they've been ingrained, programmed, whatever you want to say, that it's up to you.
But if they admit, I do know that through it, and sometimes things haven't worked just the way they thought it was going to be in their effort.
Absolutely correct. This one guy who's a very pretty wealthy guy, I wouldn't say very wealthy, he had 20-some homes. I mean, he had real estate everywhere. And then when that thing hit in 2008, he lost it all. Well, why couldn't you have seen that ahead of time, or why couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because God didn't want him to see it. Mm-hmm. Pride cometh before a fall. He fell hard. He fell really hard. But guess what? God has put him with Scott and me. And so if he is open and if he will receive, he will become what God wants him to become. And we can't be impatient with that either. Sometimes we get impatient with people that, I don't think they're receiving this. No, it's not your responsibility to determine whether they're receiving it. It's your responsibility to do what God tells you to do.
God brings all men in his time.
Exactly.
Not their time.
That's right. That's right.
All we do is plant, drop. Mm-hmm. He gives the increase. Mm-hmm. He does the opening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Paul plants, Apollos waters, and mm-hmm. the Lord gets the increase. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take credit for the increase because it's not my responsibility. It's his responsibility for the increase. My responsibility, one thing, I have eight things. Once we go through the Kings, I've got eight things on how to live a life that in the Melchizedek priesthood anointing. We're going to talk about that eventually. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is receive, give, receive, give, receive. If God has blessed you with something, a revelation, just an encouraging word, or whatever, you know how much he's blessed you. Man, you got to give that away. You can't sit there and hold on to that. You've got to be that light on the hill. And that doesn't mean, which none of you would do this, but that doesn't mean giving them the four spiritual laws and man, if you die today, will you go to heaven or hell? That's not Jesus. Did Jesus ever ask that of anybody? No. Did Jesus ever say, other than to the religious people, that, they're going to go to a bad place or whatever? No, it was the religious people, and of course, that's a whole nother conversation, but we won't go there. Okay, I'm just going to we'll give 5 minutes, and then, is that all right, 5 minutes? And then we'll get out of here so we can start on time out there. Amraphel.
What?
Amraphel is the first king we're going to talk about, king of Shinar. Amraphel, okay? Mm-hmm. Amraphel means the speaker of darkness and the communicator of deception. Shinar is to repeat your childhood. Do you all want to, we're not kids anymore in Christ, are we? Do you want to go back? Mm-hmm. Well, then get the darkness out. Get the deception out. What do I mean by, what do you think I mean and the Bible means by speaker of darkness and communicator of deception? What do you think, what's that got to do with you?
Well, it's like if you're not thinking Christ-like or God-like, your thoughts are going to go towards the negative and bad things, not the positive and godlike things. And a lot of times in our natural life, we are operating in deception based on
what we believe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right?
We practice more in the natural than in the spiritual.
Heard the voice in there going,
yeah,
a dark voice saying, you're not perfect. What's that sound like? When Jesus was tested in the wilderness, right?
Like Satan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a whisperer.
And you're going to see that Arioch is basically the accuser of the brethren. Anyway, we're getting ahead. Okay, so there's voices in here that you do still listen. I don't care unless you're in perfection, you're not skinny enough. You've lost your hair, you're not attractive. Silly, stupid things, but they still hit you, don't they? You're getting old.
Well,
you're
Well, what was it the other day? And you're like, why do you always give the negative? It was about something stupid, but it's like something wasn't working or...
Yeah, you were getting all frustrated.
It's broken.
And it wasn't the device's fault, it was the user's fault.
Yeah, I mean, right.
And automatically, she goes into this dark area and says, this stupid thing, and I said, Julie.
It's just a dumb thing that we do every day. I mean, I know I do a lot.
And so we've got to defeat that cape. We have to, okay? We have to defeat that king that speaks stupid stuff in our ear. The accuser of the brethren. If it wasn't true, then why is it in the Bible that we have an accuser? And that, I'll say this, you don't have to agree with me, and that's perfectly fine. If you were standing there watching Jesus in the desert, he was by himself. Mm-hmm. If you believe there is some pitchfork thing and whatever walking around speaking into his ear, you can believe that. That's fine. You can believe that. I have no problem because I believed it at one point. Jesus was by himself. He was listening to this Amraphel, king of Shinar. He was listening. And he had the right answers, didn't he? But he still heard it, right? He still listened to it, but that's the key to this whole thing. You can hear it, but what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit there and entertain that nonsense? Are you going to raise up a standard and say, get thee behind me, Satan? Whatever Satan is. All I know with me,
he's right in there.
It's there. And I'm hearing that same thing that Jesus heard. Why don't you take them up to the, all this can be yours. It's all his anyway. And that's all Jesus said. You're a fool. This is all, everything's mine. I'm God the Father. You know? So,
duh.
Huh?
He said to himself, duh.
I know, exactly.
He said to his humanity, duh.
Are you that stupid? I mean, seriously, are you really that stupid to believe that I don't already know all this is mine? Mm-hmm. And that's what the word is to the Christian community. Your inheritance is humongous. Let's start enjoying it. Let's not sit there and say, well, this is my inheritance right here, and I'm going to enjoy that. No, it's a billion, trillion, whatever a biggest number is, bigger than what this box is. And we need to enjoy it. Have fun with it. The walk with the Lord should be fun. It should be, hey, Lord, what are we doing today? What's going on, you know? What can we do that's fun? Mm-hmm. Teach me something today, Lord, that's just going to blow my mind. Mm-hmm. That's the walk with the Lord that we want to have. Communicator of deception. Guess what? What's the biggest deception that the communicator of deception wants to for you to believe?
That you're not worthy.
That goes right along the lines with your mistaken identity. Mm-hmm. They want you to believe in an identity that you are not. Mm-hmm. You are not what he says you are. Because your true identity is in Christ. And if your true identity is in Christ, there is no darkness and there is no deception. Mm-hmm. Right? If you are in perfection with Christ, there is no going to be no darkness and no deception. In the meantime, we got to, and again, when I say we have to conquer, it's not us conquering. It's not us doing it. It's the Lord doing it. If we try to conquer it, we're going to fail. What are you looking at?
My phone kind of went off.
Oh. Right? If we sit there and think we can conquer Amraphel, guess what? You're in trouble. But you still have to conquer Amraphel. But you've got...
You got to conquer who?
Amraphel, the king of Shinar. Oh. You have to conquer him, but you don't conquer him alone. Just like Abram had 130 men and conquered Amraphel with probably thousands of men. How'd he do it?
Through Christ.
Through Christ. Abram looked through Christ, even though Christ, the idea of Christ was there with Abram, but Jesus had never walked on the earth. But he was still looking through Christ and seeing victory. Now you can look through Christ and you can see victory in whatever is troubling you, whatever your situation is. And man, is that exciting or what? To know that he's done it. You don't have to do it, you just have to become it. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Okay. Anybody else have anything? Brenda, you want to pray?
Father, we so thank you, Lord, for the word that's being brought forth. Thank you for revealing yourself to us and calling us into a higher place,
yes.
A deeper relationship with you and God.
Yes, Lord.
We so want it to be no longer us, but Christ that is being seen, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. So we thank you. We thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for everything. We ask that you bless the following. Serve us, Father, may you be glorified in all that is said and done. And we give you the praise and the glory. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sorry if I get too excited.
No.